welcome to everyone's favorite vegan cheese podcast. I'm Andy, the Packer noob.
I'm Jake, the Packer veteran.
Jake, I'm feeling great today. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty good. It's fall. Fall's in full swing. It's a week until my birthday. Pumpkin spice is everywhere. It's not too bad.
Are you a fan of pumpkin spice in the coffee?
I am. I know it's
a loaded question.
It is loaded. It seems like this is a flavor that's been played out recently. You know, they have pumpkin spice Oreos for crying out loud. But I do enjoy a good pumpkin spice latte.
Okay. Well, we'll just move on past that. Actually, no, I shouldn't come in too hard on that. I enjoy it every once in a while, but coffee is good, just regular coffee. But I just remembered something else that we definitely need to think about. I'm definitely going off script right now. Not that we have a script. I forgot to ask you this question. Have you seen the Star Wars trailer yet, Jake?
Yes.
What are your thoughts? This obviously is not a Star Wars podcast, unfortunately, but give me your take.
There were a lot of, well, not a lot. There were two things in the trailer where I was surprised they showed them in the trailer, which leads me to believe that they're Mr. X, and the things that they're implying will happen aren't actually going to happen, but it's very intriguing.
So you think they're playing mind games with you?
Yes.
But what if they're playing mind games because they know you think you'll be playing mind games, and what's actually happening is going to happen?
You just blew my mind. I can't even comprehend that.
Yep. That's why it's a great trailer. Before getting to the Packers, I just want to say, I think that is possibly the best trailer I've seen of all time. The previous best trailer in my existence that I have seen is actually for The Force Awakens. The first one, the Chewie We're Home one, just so good. This one, equally as good. I literally yelled out loud in our house when I saw it. I saw it four times when I first watched it and have come back to it twice since then. Anyway, it's incredible. You should watch it. If you haven't seen it, The Last Jedi trailer, check it out. But we have other reasons to feel good. Most importantly, that the Packers beat the Dallas Cowboys 35-31. Jake, you called it.
I did. I laughably said this game was going to be a Packer victory 17-14. And looking back on that, Andy, I don't know what I was drinking / smoking / thinking.
Because, well, you were drinking the Kool-Aid labeled Capers Defense Works.
I must have been, really, because there is no, thinking back on it now, there is no way that this game was ever going to be that low scoring with both of these defenses.
That's a poison Kool-Aid, Jake.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. But I must have drank it hard because it made sense at the time. But looking back, it seems a little ridiculous. But yeah, the Packers are able to win this game. Got great contributions from several people who maybe, you know, we didn't know how well they're going to do. In particular, Aaron Jones, who came out of nowhere to maybe become the featured running back on this team.
He looked incredible.
When you get 125 yards on 19 carries in your first ever start in the NFL against not a great defense, but, you know, not the worst defense. That's pretty good.
You called this in the preseason. You said that perhaps one of the rookies would come and supplant Ty Montgomery. You didn't think it was because of injury, but give yourself some credit.
Yeah, I said it wasn't going to be because of injury. And who knows how long it's going to take Montgomery to get back to full strength with these broken ribs. You know, obviously, Jordy Nelson had the same kind of injury last postseason. He missed one game, came back in the Atlanta game, had a productive game, but definitely wasn't 100%, was basically wearing a Kevlar vest to protect those ribs, and maybe Montgomery will do something similar. I think it's a whole different ball game with Montgomery, because as a running back, all it takes is one play where some 350-pound defensive lineman falls on you, and there it goes again. There you have more broken ribs. So I wonder if – I haven't seen anything about his progress. I've scoured the internet, and nobody is saying if he will play this week against Minnesota. But if he doesn't, I feel pretty good with Aaron Jones – stepping in and being the lead back.
Yeah, I mean, he just looked like a good runner. We should remember, though, Ty Montgomery had a similar game last year when he first started with running back, where he had over 100 yards rushing, looked great. So it's not like Ty Montgomery is done. But all of a sudden, feel a whole lot better about that injury. Obviously, we don't want it to last a long time, but it seems like we're secure that moment.
Right. Yeah, I mean, he looked great. Only had one rush that results in negative yardage. And I think 16 of his 19 carries went for more than 5 yards. So that's pretty darn good for the NFL, and definitely provided more of a balanced offensive attack. As great as Aaron Rodgers did play, he only had 221 yards passing on 19 completions, which is pretty good. But for Aaron Rodgers, you know, seems like a little bit of a drop-off.
Yeah, and that balance on offense is so important for the Packers because, of course, Aaron Rodgers is what people are going to game plan, right? One of the best quarterbacks to ever play the game. If you have something that they also have to think about and you have one of the best quarterbacks of the game, the offense really is unstoppable. And in the second half, that's really what the offense were. You felt like whenever they were going to get the ball, they were going to score. And the Cowboys had to change their entire game to fit that. Like, they were eating up and eating up and eating up clock. I mean, that final drive, I think, really was like 9 minutes of game time.
Yeah, because something like that.
They couldn't give the ball back to the Packer offense because they weren't stopping them.
Right. And that last drive was, I think, 8 or 9 minutes. I think you're right about that. The Packers had a nice long drive in the third quarter that was about that length of time as well. And I felt like we were in a similar position, Andy, where they scored and there was a minute 13 left with one timeout. And the Cowboys actually ended up kind of giving the Packers a gift because on that drive in the end zone, they actually threw, I think it was 2nd and 1 or 3rd and 1. Maybe they were just outside of the, you know, just outside the 10-yard line. And they threw a pass into the end zone.
Yep.
That
Joe Buck was not impressed.
Right. They threw a pass into the end zone where it was incomplete, which basically saved the Packers from having to use another timeout. So, yeah, they had 73 seconds and a timeout left. And just seeing that, I immediately thought, well, they left too much time. The Packers had plenty of time to go down. At least, I mean, kicking a field goal was easy with that much time. But as soon as I realized how much time was left, I was thinking, you know, they might be going for the kill shot, going for the score to win the game. And that's exactly what they did. Should be noted that very nice to see Devontae Adams, who, you know, just 11 or 12 days ago had a concussion on a vicious hit from Bears linebacker Danny Trevathan. I don't want to say it's a return because he didn't miss a game, but just knowing how concussions can be so serious. I mean, they're all serious, but obviously with someone like Sam Shields last year, gets one concussion, is done for the year.
Yeah, they're so unpredictable in their effects. And right. It's not that one player is like less. It's not like Devontae Adams is more tough than Sam Shields. It's just it is different every single concussion.
Right. And I even said last week on the podcast that looking at what's happened to Sam Shields, you know, this could be the last game that Devontae Adams ever plays. You just don't know. And to go from that mindset to see him come back and lead the team with 7 catches for 66 yards and 2 touchdowns, including the game winner, really good to see him come back and have that kind of impact on the team.
Yeah, I mean, the whole receiving core really played, I think, a better game than they had the previous two. Still not great. I think especially Jordy Nelson, I'm expecting a little more out of him than we saw in this game for sure. He only had 2 receptions for 24 yards, obviously a touchdown, so that's a big play. But he didn't seem that involved in the offense. But overall, the wide receiver core got the job done. And actually, the tight ends both impressed me as well. Bennett, again, didn't have a huge game, but he had some huge catches. And even Kendricks had just one catch, but it was huge in the third quarter to kind of get the comeback going. So good job by the Packers offense all the way around.
Yeah, and specifically talking about Nelson, he did come out of the game on the last drive. It's really kind of a mystery as to why. They said that he had an undisclosed injury, and McCarthy did say that he was being evaluated for something. They talked to Jordy Nelson after the game. He said he thinks he'll be fine going forward. I think he actually might be listed as questionable officially at the moment, but no one really knows what exactly happened to him. In terms of injuries, though, overall, it wasn't as bad as most games, but there were some notable ones. Probably the most notable was Kevin King leaving the game with a concussion in the first half. Also, Morgan Burnett, who's been playing very well this year at safety, had a hamstring injury in the second half. Also, Kentrell Bryce hurt his foot in the game, but I believe he came back in the game and looked okay, but he was out at one point. So 3 injuries to some pretty key players. It wasn't the, you know, injury fest that the Packers have been having this season so far, but they're still there and the players were pretty significant. So it's something that we'll have to monitor going forward, as always. Still nice to be able to, you know, even with those injuries sustained, grit out a classic Rodgers comeback win in Dallas.
Right, and we still haven't gotten our starting tackle tandem to start in a game together yet, and we're getting results.
Right, Blaga did start for this game. I guess not for the first time. He did come. He has played earlier this year, but Bakhtiari is supposed to be coming back soon.
I didn't really look at this at all. That's why I'm the Packer noob. But how did you think Bulaga looked? Did he look up to his normal standards? Did he look rusty? What did you think of his performance?
From what I saw, I think he played pretty well. I think he only gave up, I was looking at the stats, he only gave up 2 pressures and didn't allow any sacks, although Rodgers was sacked 4 times. He looked like, you know, his normal self. So that was good to see.
That's very encouraging.
And hopefully whenever Bakhtiari gets back, he'll look like himself as well. One player, Andy, that I didn't write this down in the notes here, but one player who I think is playing head and shoulders above where he was playing last year is actually linebacker Blake Martinez. It seems to me like he has made the jump from being a rookie and having to think about everything so much and, you know, not really knowing the playbook very much to just reacting and going on instinct and making the play and closing the gap. He has played phenomenal, starting with last week and then again this week. This week he had 12 tackles, including 7 tackles for solo. Also, one of his tackles was for a loss. Even also had a pass defensed. But he looks really good in his second year, and you know it's definitely shown up on the defensive side of the ball. So
yeah, I definitely as the Packer noob, I noticed that specifically, like you said, his reading of those gaps. There are several times where Ezekiel Elliott, you know, was stopped 2 yards, you know, 1 yard, or even for a loss. And it's Blake Martinez who filled that gap. Maybe he didn't always get the tackle, although oftentimes he did. He filled those gaps. So that's huge. Inside linebacker has been a tough spot. Obviously, famously, we had to move Clay Matthews there because of the weak and thin nature of position there. But it's good to see him coming to his own.
And in defense in general, I know, think about the game and the fact that the Cowboys only had to punt once, and you think, oh, man, the defense played bad. And, yeah, they didn't play great. But you look at their stats, and they only gave up 250 passing yards, which is only 30 more than what Aaron Rodgers threw against Dallas. And, yeah, they gave him 163 yards on the ground. In the first half, Andy, Ezekiel Elliott, his stats for the game, 29 carries, 116 yards. That's 4 yards a carry exactly. At halftime, he had 17 carries for 30 yards. Really have been bottled up. It was really in the second half when he kind of did most of his damage. I don't know if you contribute that to probably fatigue among the Packer defensive line, especially with that long drive in the fourth quarter. And they looked like they had a bottle on him pretty early, which is something we said they would have to do. And it just seemed to kind of get away from him. But to me, the funniest thing about this game, or maybe not the funniest thing, but you know, the first two plays of the game, they tried to run Ezekiel Elliott. He got tackled by Kevin King for a 2 yard loss. Then they tried another play and Martinez blew it up. And so they had 3rd and 14, and then they almost had a sack on Prescott. He scrambles, breaks free, hits Bryce Butler for a 49 yard pass. And they go down and score a touchdown. And it seemed like the defense never recovered from that. And, you know, if they gotten that sack on 3rd down, we could be talking about a whole different ballgame in terms of how the defense performed. But it seemed like it was going to go one way for the first two plays, and then it did not go that way at all for the rest of the game.
Yeah, definitely. I think, honestly, coming out of this game, huge for the Packers, obviously. Playing phenomenal. I think the Cowboys, they're 2-3 right now. I kind of think that that reflects what kind of team they are right now. I think they could be a dangerous team, but something about them kind of lost that sizzle from last year. And Aaron Rodgers in Dallas, he's the GOAT there, I guess.
Right. Well, this is Aaron Rodgers' 3rd game in Jerry World. 2nd against the Cowboys. Of course, Super Bowl 45 was in Jerry World, and he hasn't lost there yet.
That went pretty well.
That went pretty well. And obviously, there was the playoff game last year. So Rodgers is 3-0 in Texas. It's AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas. But yeah, I mean, the offense looked pretty good for the most part. Only had a couple 3-and-outs that were mostly caused by pressure on the offensive line with that. I mean, Dallas does have a great defensive line, so we should have expected, like, 4 sacks actually might be considered a good showing on the part of the Packer offensive line. So, and just to have those rushing yards and, you know, being able to, you know, only have Rodgers throw 29 times in the game and still get a win, albeit in a close game. Whereas I think against the Bears, he had 50 passing attempts or something along those lines. Maybe that was against the Bengals, but recently he had a game where he had 50 passing attempts. I think it's much better and obviously more sustainable to have a more balanced approach. And this is the first time all season we've really seen the Packers have success in the same game, both running and passing. So it's a good sign going forward.
Let's talk about a weak link here. I almost forgot to talk about him. He's not on our sheet right now, but I think we have to talk about Mason Crosby really almost losing us the game. I mean, there towards the end of the second half, became clear that those missed points were going to really cost us, and they almost did. What are your thoughts on his performance? I mean, I know we were texting during the game. You said the first one was a bad snap, or the second one was a bad snap, the second missed field extra point. I'm not as convinced by that. I think it wasn't the cleanest, but I think he's still definitely I don't know. I'm upset at him. That's what I'm trying to get at. Mason, I'm mad at you.
Honestly, going back and looking at both those extra points, the first snap was high. The second snap was low. Now, I know actually Justin Vogel, the punter, did a pretty good job to get those snaps down and in place. But even seeing those snaps not be clean can still affect your rhythm as a kicker. Obviously, you know, it's something we don't want to see continue to go forward, but it's not something that I'm too worried about. I mean, Mason Crosby has been around for, I think this is his 10th year in the league, so he'll get it figured out. Maybe it's just getting in more reps with new snapper Tabor Pepper, who, you know, has played 2 games in his life to this point. And it's not something that I'm overly concerned with. I mean, obviously, I would have liked to see him make those kicks, but I think it'll be fine going forward.
You also reminded me of something else as you were talking about that, mentioning snaps. This is just something I noted. I wanted to know if you thought the same thing. Felt to me like Lindsey, our center, was consistently giving Aaron low or slow snaps. Did you notice that?
Yeah, definitely. I noticed that. I was watching the game with my dad. He noticed it. Or actually, my dad's been pointing this out since the preseason, that the snaps from any center we had have looked low or slow or both. And it's a thing where, you know, that really can affect the timing of passing routes, where especially if you're trying to throw like a slant and you get the ball a second late and then you throw it anyway, it can really mess up how those plays are supposed to work. So that's obviously something that they're going to have to work on, or Lindsley's going to have to work on, because it also affects things like the pass rush. You know, if you give defensive linemen an extra second to get back there, that sometimes that's all they need.
Right, and at worst, Aaron has to take his eyes off of the coverage and his receivers because he has to bend low to get that. He can't see over 6'5", you know, centers from, you know, your waist.
Right.
It's a bad start to apply. At first, it happened so frequently, I was thinking, is that something they worked on? Like, they wanted, for some reason, you know, to come back a little slower? I don't think that's the case. That's crazy. But just, it was so consistent. It was weird for an NFL center, especially one that has a relationship already with Rodgers, that this would be a consistent problem in this game.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's not at all intentional. It's not what they want. They want those snaps back there, you know, quick and you know, accurately, so he doesn't have to, you know, contort his body in weird positions just to catch it. So this was happening in spots in last year too. So it's just something that hopefully Lindsey can get fixed. You know, if he has to go and put in more snaps in practice and keep practicing the shotgun snap in practice, then he should do whatever he needs to do, because I feel like eventually it's going to end up costing the Packers in the game if they don't fix it.
Right. Maybe charitably we could say, like we mentioned, Dallas is a great pass rush. So maybe he's just focusing too much on that rush and not focusing on the first, you know, fundamental of getting that hike. Because I didn't notice it to this game, but if you've noticed it before and others like your dad, I mean, maybe it is just something that he's trying to maybe improve one area of his game and another area is getting worse. It's very possible.
Yeah, it could be, but hopefully he'll get that cleaned up so that we don't have to worry about that anymore. One last thing we should, of course, mention. Aaron Rodgers, as I have in my notes, doing Aaron Rodgers things. That scramble he had on the winning drive where he was 3rd and 8 and he broke 2 tackles in the backfield and then ran for, I guess, 12 or so yards to get the first
with
down.
With the high step.
Right, with the high step. But yeah, just that play. And then, you know, the first – and we should mention the first throw he had to Adams in the end zone – right before the game winner, was actually pretty bad. Like, if Jordan Lewis gets his head turned around, that might be an interception. And as Troy Aikman said, Davante Adams was really playing more defense than offense on that play. But they got back to the huddle, and, you know, Davante Adams said, do it again. Roger said he didn't say this, but he said it with his eyes. He said, you know, throw a better pass. And so Rodgers obliged, and that ended up being the game winner. So actually, one more thing I do want to talk about, Andy. I saw everything unraveling on that final fumble play when I think it was Jason Witten was trying to throw the ball back to an offensive lineman, it looked like, and it bounced, and Nick Perry picked it up and just kind of started walking.
And he just stands there.
Right.
In it's no like, level of football is that the end of the game, Perry.
Right.
They got to be down.
So then everyone kind of slowed to a crawl except for another Dallas player who then knocked it out of his hand and picked it up and ran. And then as he tried to lateral, Quinn Rollins actually jumped on the ball and then, you know, basically laid there as if to say, you know, I give myself up, the clock has expired. So I saw, you know, I was like, oh no, all this great, like the great comeback and the great effort by Aaron Jones and everything, this is all going to be unraveled because Nick Perry didn't know the rules on a fumble play. And I saw it all unraveling. But luckily, that wasn't the case. Luckily enough, Packers were still alert enough to chase him down. And it didn't go on for too much longer. Crisis averted.
It definitely felt like I was all of a sudden watching an NFL Films moment. You know, you could almost feel, you know, hear in the background, like,
you never take for granted that you've won this game.
Yep.
Nick Perry thought he had won. And then, you know,
Right, then you see the play, and you see the Dallas player running in the end zone, and it's terrible. But luckily that is now possibly an alternate timeline, not the true timeline.
Dallas would use the momentum gained from this incredible play to make it to Super Bowl 51. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But luckily that didn't happen. So, Andy, let's talk about unsung hero. For me this week, it's actually going to be Quinn Rollins, who we just talked about. One, because of what he did at the end of the game. He covered up the fumble and, you know, officially ended the game. But most importantly, he helped force the only punt that Dallas had in the game. It was 3rd and 12. They threw a wide receiver bubble screen to Cole Beasley, and he was able to break away from Blake Martinez, who had a first shot at him. But Rollins was getting blocked and actually was able to get around his block and got at Beasley's ankles. Now, Beasley still did gain 10 yards, but they were 2 yards short of the first down, forced the only punt of the day by Dallas, which was huge. Between that and the Demaryius Randall pick six, which I guess we didn't talk about, but props to him for that also. You know, really the only two times that the Packers stopped the Cowboys, and then if you count the drive at the end of the second half. But to force the only punt of the game was huge, so I'm giving it to Quinton Rollins.
So my first thoughts, let me walk you through this. I always feel like I have to justify my choices, probably because I'm the noob. I'm not as confident as you are.
Just hit me. You don't need a long expositional story. Who you got?
No, I like expositional stories. So I was going to say Aaron Jones, because obviously he really, you know, stepped up in a big moment, but like, he's not unsung. Everyone's talking about him. Okay, fine. Davante Adams. I was like, yeah, we've given him a hard time before, but he really did good. He demanded that ball. He did it, but he's got 66 yards and 2 touchdowns to the game winner. It's not really that big a deal. So I actually am going to choose Blake Martinez for the very thing that we mentioned. A big part of this game was containing, in some degree, when it counted, the Cowboys' running game. And I think when it needed to be done, it was done. Now, of course, Ezekiel Elliott got 116 yards on 29 attempts. I mean, it wasn't like the greatest display of defense. And I think at some point we need to start talking about, when are we going to stop, you know, accepting the bend, don't break defense?
Well, I think it's pretty much just break at this point. There's the bending part would be holding teams to field goals, and the Packers really haven't done that this season. So I think it's pretty much just a break defense.
Okay. Well, okay, so there we go. We had that discussion. We now don't like the defense. But Blake Martinez specifically, I think, did well, especially considering a second-year player called into, it seems, a more leadership role on this defense, doing it well.
Yeah. No, like I said, he's definitely playing more aggressively, seems to be more confident in himself, especially on those plays where he is diving into piles and tackling runners. It just seems like he is playing on another level. So, yeah, great pick. So with that said, with the Packers being the Cowboys, let's go around and see how the rest of the NFC North did in our NFC North watch. Let's start with the Vikings, who played the Bears last night on Monday Night Football. They beat the Bears 20-17. The Vikings, yeah, the game itself was sort of, well, at one point it was 3-2, I think, at halftime, or at least at the end of the first quarter. So it was kind of a boring game. Sam Bradford came back for the Vikings, did not look good, so they went back to Case Keenum. Actually, the guy who probably looked the best in that game was Mitchell Trubisky, who, besides the fact that he threw a late-game interception that kind of, you know, led the Vikings to kicking the winning field goal, looked very good otherwise. And, you know, I think the Packers got lucky to play against Mike Glennon one more time before they switched to Trubisky, because I think he might be a challenge when we had the rematch in Chicago. But anyway, so the Vikings are now 3-2. The Bears are 1-4. The Vikings, of course, play the Packers next week at noon in Minnesota, and the Bears will play the Ravens in Baltimore. Then as for the Lions, they lost to the Panthers 27-24. They were losing that game 27-10. And my dad joked that the Lions have them right where they want them, and they actually almost came back and won the game.
Stafford in the fourth quarter. I mean, crazy.
Yeah, he's pretty darn good at that whole fourth quarter comeback thing. The Lions did end up losing, so they also moved to 3-2. So this Packer win over Dallas, Andy, was even bigger because now the Packers still maintain a full one-game lead over both
sole
the Vikings
possession
and the Lions for sole possession in first place. And obviously, coming up here against the Vikings, it'll be important to win that game as well because it's a divisional game and because it'll further increase that lead in the division, potentially.
Yeah, and I think this week sort of confirmed what I think we were both starting to think, that the Bears are not going to be good this year. I think they could be good in the very near future, but this year is not their year. The Vikings, it seems, are, we'll talk about this a little more, I think they're going to fizzle out. I think this is going to be a race between the Packers and the Lions.
I'd be inclined to agree with you with the Vikings thing. I mean, they have had good moments. I mean, you and I both watched that first game against the Saints where they looked like a dynamite offense and they were moving the ball up and down. But you have to remember that is the Saints defense, which has ranked in the bottom five the last three seasons. So the Vikings definitely have some talent as well, but I guess we'll have to see. It's Vikings and Lions both at 3-2, Bears at 1-4, which brings us to next week's game, Andy. Packers will travel into Minnesota and we'll play the Minnesota Vikings at noon in that brand new stadium. And I think the biggest question is, who are the Vikings going to start at quarterback? Because like I just said, Sam Bradford returned after playing in the first game, that's the game against the Saints, and then missing every game since then with a sort of a mysterious knee injury. And he came back last night, and as someone who watched most of that game, he did not look good. It looked like anytime the Bears got a pass rusher around him, it looked like he was trying to find a place to fall down, which is not what you want your quarterback to do most of the time. So eventually they moved on to Case Keenum very late in the second quarter. He played the entire second half. It's a big question about what Bradford's actual health is. And, you know, I think, you know, Keenum is a guy who he's had 5 years in the league. He's not a superstar, obviously, but I think he's a pretty good backup. He's definitely serviceable. There was also something else in the paper today, Andy, where they were talking to Teddy Bridgewater, who, of course, had that horrific knee injury last season. And they asked him when he thought he would be coming back, and he just said very soon, and had kind of a coy smile saying like, who knows, like he might be back sooner than we think. Who knows if the situation with Bradford is going to accelerate that at all. But it'll be interesting to see how the Packers prepare for this game, because there's definitely a difference there between Bradford and Keenum, but it'll be interesting to see who the Vikings trot out at quarterback this week.
Is his first name Casey or just Case? Because I know it's spelled C-A-S-E. But that's not pronounced Casey?
It's Case. If it's Casey, he hasn't corrected anybody because all the NFL announcers have been saying Case. So
I've been saying Casey this whole time. I'm glad you said that. No. All of our people would have thought I was an idiot.
Well, you are the Packer noob. So if you're the Packer noob, then you must be the Vikings like ultra noob.
That's true. I was playing a role, of course.
That was, yes, as I always do.
We definitely need to look out for it. We're playing the Vikings, so of course we'll probably get a wide receiver that's going to go over 200 yards. That's happened, what, the last two times we faced the Vikings? Stephon Diggs and someone else.
Who are the two that did it? I don't know about 200, but it was over 150. Yeah, Stephon Diggs in that Week 2 game last year, and then Adam Thielen. On that Christmas Eve game last season, had his best game of his career.
Yeah, Hall of Famer Adam Thielen, not.
Yes, he who is undrafted from Minnesota State Mankato. But he's actually, you know, he's a pretty good player. I'm kind of, it's like looking back now, you wonder why he wasn't drafted. Of course, it's, you know, hindsight's 2020 and all that. But yeah, they do have two very good receivers. Also, Kyle Rudolph is a very good receiving tight end. Definitely the strength of this team, especially since 2 weeks ago, Dalvin Cook went down with an ACL injury. I got to say, running back Jerick McKinnon looked pretty good in relief of him last night. And you know, obviously, we'll have to keep an eye on him as well. But the strength of this team, I mean, I know at one point both Thielen and Diggs were in the top five for receiving yards. They were the highest yard-gaining duo of receivers in the league at one point. I think they're still both in the top five, actually. But, you know, both have different skill sets and different talents, but they complement each other very well. So it's really going to be crucial that hopefully we get Kevin King back from his concussion. But if not, and there's, you know, a chance that might not happen, of course, we really need guys who have been kind of underperforming, such as, like we said, Quinton Rollins and Demaryius Randall, to step up, or maybe guys like Josh Hawkins, who played pretty well last week towards the end of the game. You know, he'll need to step up as well, because if they can do what they did the last two games, you know, it might be a long afternoon for the Packers defense. So, and maybe that just involves getting more pressure on whoever plays quarterback.
I don't know. I'm struggling. I mean, you have all these good points. I just think the Vikings are not a good team. I think they have some dangerous things like you've talked about. But, Jake, I'm feeling really confident that this is going to be like the Packers continue to gain momentum. Won three in a row. This is going to be not an easy fourth, but this is going to be a game where we really feel good about it. Am I wrong in that? Am I getting too comfortable? I mean, we still are injury ridden. I still don't know if the tackles are going to be back. Still don't know how Ty Montgomery is going to be. If Aaron Jones is like a one time thing, yada yada yada. I'm now making myself more nervous. How should I feel?
Well, I mean, yeah, especially looking at how the Vikings played that game last night. Granted, it was on the road, and it is a Monday night game, so you know maybe the Bears are more fired up than usual. Plus, they were starting a new quarterback, which is equal parts, you know, exciting and terrifying. You're not wrong to feel confident. I mean, the Packers, you know, went into Dallas and played a pretty, you know, maybe not as good as last year, but it's still a pretty good Dallas team, and came away with the win on the road in a very hostile environment. I would just, again, caution, you know, I've read this, reading the papers here in Minnesota this week, and I'm sure someone's going to say, oh, there's no way that the Vikings are going to win this week, especially after how they looked against Chicago. But as I said in the preseason, I've seen this all before, where everyone says there's not a snowflake's chance in hell that the Vikings will beat the Packers, and then they do, and everyone acts so surprised. And it's like, you know, obviously that was back in the Metrodome days, which was a whole other ballgame, I think. I still would expect this game to be somewhat close, just because it's a division game. It's the Packers, the Viking fans, you know, this is like their personal Super Bowl every year when the Packers come to town. I just think it's going to be tougher than maybe people will think. I'm still expecting the Packers to win, but I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk.
Well, let's go right into it then. You think they're going to win? Tell me points. How's this game going to look?
Well, I think, again, we don't know who's going to play quarterback. At this point, I don't expect Case Keenum to play, because if Sam Bradford's not fully healthy, I don't think they're going to rush him into this game against their biggest rival. I still feel like the Viking receivers could have a good game. You know, I don't know what the chances are of Rollins or Randall improving dramatically between now and when the game starts. I see them having a pretty big game, especially if Kevin King doesn't come back, the receivers I'm talking about for Minnesota. But I still think, even though the Vikings do have a decent defense, they do have a pretty good front three or front seven. And probably the weakest part of their defense is Trey Waynes, the second cornerback. So really, whoever gets matched up on him, I feel like Rodgers is going to go to early and often. But even with that, I still think the Packers are going to win this game, and I think they're going to win 31-20.
Ooh, pretty comfortable. I like that. I mean, I'm basically in agreement with you all over there. I think, as I said, I think the momentum is really on the Packers' side. The defense needs to certainly improve, and I think this is a good game to get some confidence with the unknown quarterback situation. But of course, as you said, watch those wide receivers. And I think the Packers have the players to beat Minnesota's strength, which is their defense. As you said, their front seven. I think Aaron Rodgers can find those gaps in the defense that forces them to open up, and then that's where we run the ball. And then vice versa, when we get some success running the ball, hopefully like we did this week against Dallas, go back to that passing game. So I think we have the strength to beat their strength, and I think our defense will be just fine against either of those quarterbacks if they start. I'm with you. I think Case or KC is probably going to be the one to start. But I think Packers win handily 28-10. Wait, what am I thinking? Never mind. 28-17.
Again, that game is on noon this week. It's on Fox because both teams are NFC teams. Should be on in most of Wisconsin and in Minnesota. Are you going to get that game down in Florida?
I would guess not. I haven't checked the actual schedule.
Well, I'll be posting the 5 of 6 maps when they come out later this week, and hopefully they'll let us know. But growing up in Minnesota, you knew you were going to get to see the Packers at least twice a year. So,
yeah, if you love 5 of 6 maps, by the way, of coverage, you should definitely transition. Follow us on Facebook, Packers in Law. Jake is very good about sharing what's being covered or where the Packer game is being covered and where it isn't, as well as a lot of cool resources and articles, and especially to our parent site, Pack to the Future. Check them out, packtothefuture.com, as well as the Pack to the Future podcast. Really great stuff, a lot of great content, definitely worth reading.
Yeah, also I want to give a shout out, Andy. Did you realize we are no longer the baby podcast on the website now? There's actually a newer podcast than us that was, you know, acquired or whatever you want to say. It's called Bleeding Green and Gold, and it's a father-son combo who do that podcast, weekly Packers podcast.
Whoa. So
go check them out. I haven't actually listened to any episodes of theirs yet, but I plan to, just to see what our new sort of competition is. I mean, not really competition, because we're all part of the same, you know, same team, but yeah, go check them out. Go check out the other podcasts on there, including Blue Cheese Radio and, of course, the flagship Pack to the Future podcast. There's articles, there's gameplay breakdowns, there's all kinds of things. So go look at that. And yeah, like Andy said, follow us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Packers in Law. I still do my live tweeting during the game, and anything we post on Facebook gets pushed to Twitter. So you can, you know, get all the updates there. And if you ever want to send us an email, packersinlaw@gmail.com is where to send those. So with that, we'll await the coming of the Vikings, and we will talk to you guys next week.
Bye.